Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and Chase McCabe here with you. Braves get the win in the opening game of the World Series last night over the Astros. Great performance by the Braves. Another one of these modern-day performances by the pitching staff where it's everybody chips in and gets their outs. And, of course, the Braves continue to get these great contributions from the players they acquired near the trade deadline. So to give us some insight, we are really, really thrilled to be talking once again to Tom Glavine, the outstanding Hall of Fame left-hander, joining us here on the show again today. And Tom, it's great to have you with us again. We were at the hockey game watching the Predators and the Sharks last night, had the game on in a suite watching the World Series.
I don't blame you, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. I knew you'd appreciate that a little bit. Yeah. In fact, I wanted to tell you up front, my daughter goes to school at Northeastern, and my son is a high school baseball player, so we conveniently, when we were moving her in, walked down to the baseball office and did meet your brother Mike, who is, of course, an outstanding baseball coach at Northeastern. For people that don't know, they have a very good program up there, so that was a pleasure to meet him.
Oh, good. Well, let me know if you need any help getting your son in there. So,
okay, it sounds like you might have some pull with your brother there.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, he doesn't need much help. They've got a heck of a team, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's done a good job up there. I'm proud of him. He's done real well.
Well, Tom, let's talk about last night. You know, it's interesting. We were thinking back historically. The World Series has been played since 1903. In fact, at Northeastern, you can go to the spot where the first World Series was played. It's right in the smack dab of the middle of the campus there. That's a little fun fact for you. But nobody has ever hit a home run in the first at-bat of the World Series until last night.
Yeah, that was, obviously a great start for the Braves. But I got to admit, that was something I was a little surprised by. You'd think after all these years, somebody would have done that. But, like they say, if you hang around long enough, you'll see things you've never seen before. So last night was another one of those.
Boy, that's for sure. And Tom, you have seen a lot, but isn't it amazing how this has all come together for the Braves, these acquisitions that they made, and how they continue to go on a roll? You've seen it before. It's just amazing how a player who's a good player, but not a Hall of Fame or anything, can catch fire and seem to do no wrong, like Eddie Rosario and some of the other guys are doing right now.
Well, how many times do you say it, really in any sport that, you take a guy and all of a sudden a change of scenery and he's a different player. And I think you've seen that certainly with a couple of the guys the Braves acquired, certainly Soler and Rosario. Adam Duvall was having a great year with the Marlins. And I almost feel like more than anything else, having done a number of Braves-Marlins games and seeing the damage that Duvall did against the Braves all year long, it was almost like, hey, let's get that guy back on our team. So he can stop doing to us what he's been doing. So, but he's had a great year and he continues to do so. But Soler and Rosario, really have turned their seasons around. And I think, like I keep saying to people, you look at these moves that they made, none of them will knock your socks off. Not one of those guys would anybody have said, all right, there's the guy that's going to put the Braves over the top. Now they're World Series contenders. Collectively, that's what they've been. Some of it, Jock Peterson, obviously out of necessity when Acuna got hurt. But then the rest of the guys, I think more than anything, one thing Alex tends to do, Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves GM, is he tries to go with depth. And I think that's what a lot of these moves were depth moves. And it gave Snit some options both with his lineup offensively. It gave him options on mixing and matching with his outfield. And it's just all paid dividends. And it just goes to show you just a change of scenery. You just don't know how a guy's going to react. Fortunately, they've all reacted really well to Atlanta.
I'm talking to Tom Glavine, the Hall of Fame pitcher. And Charlie Morton throws 16 pitches on a broken leg before he finally exits the game. And unfortunately, the Braves lose him for the World Series. A tough situation to be in because you had the veteran that, you're going to use him for a Game 7 in the NLCS if you needed him. You had him Game 1 for the World Series. You wanted to anchor that rotation with him, a guy that's been there before. But now It's going to be up to the young guys and the inexperienced guys. So how big of a blow is it to lose Charlie for the rest of the way?
Well, you know, it's definitely a blow, no question about it. I mean, you know, when you're looking at how to map out a series, you know, obviously Charlie was going to go again. Now that's a big hole they're going to have to fill. Fortunately, he was able to give them enough last night to put them in a position to win the game, which they did. So, you know, at least you got one start out of them and you won that game. But no question, they're going to have to figure some things out. But, you know, look, it's an era now where that quote-unquote bullpen game has become more and more a part of the game. So, you know, the Braves certainly are going to have to figure something out in that regard. I mean, it's certainly going to be important now for Max Fried to go out there tonight and have a big ball game. You know, Ian Anderson in game three is going to have a big ball game. And then, like I said, you're going to have to figure it out from there. But I guess silver lining, at least you were able to win the game that Charlie pitched in before he got hurt.
You know, I'm sure you've been asked this, and maybe you and Max have talked, you know, if somebody's like, hey, can I get some advice, you know, from someone that's been in that situation before like you have. But is there really the right amount of advice you can give a guy that's never pitched in the World Series? Or do you basically just say, hey, you got to go out there and do it? You just have to experience it for yourself, because it's going to be a different situation than anything that you faced in your career. But how would you go about answering that as Max gets ready to make his first World Series start?
You know, I obviously get asked that question a lot, and I think my standard answer is this. You know, for me, I liken my first playoff experience to when I first got called up to the big leagues. You know, when you get called up to the big leagues, you have that natural tendency to think, okay, now I've got to be a lot better. I've got to be a lot more consistent, which you do have to be more consistent. But in terms of thinking you have to be a lot better, every breaking ball you throw has to be the best curveball that's ever been thrown, every changeup the same thing. And I think what I'm saying is you when you come to the big leagues initially, you give hitters way too much credit. And the one thing everybody tells you when you get called up to the big leagues, particularly pitchers, hey, keep doing what you were doing in the minor leagues to get here, because that's good enough at this level. And it is. But it's really hard to believe that until you go out there and you see it, right? And I think that more than anything, when you go out there as a young pitcher and you struggle a little bit when you first get called up, it's not that your pitches aren't good enough. It's just the consistency at which you throw those good pitches, right? You can throw a handful of bad pitches in the minor leagues and get away with it. You don't get away with it in the big leagues. So the consistency is probably the bigger thing than just the pure stuff. And I think my postseason was the first way that way. My first postseason start in 91 against the Pirates, sure, I was nervous. I get nervous before every start. But I think in my mind, I put a lot of pressure on myself to be better and to almost be perfect because of the situation and the magnitude and all that stuff. And I think the guys that are able to put that behind them and just treat it as much as they can like any other game, experience or not, are the guys that are successful. Now, in Max's case, he's got some playoff experience to fall back on, and I think that's going to be important for him. Sure, this will be his first World Series game, and that, look, anytime there's a first, there's some emotions you have to deal with, but you know, I think his playoff experience will help him tonight. Certainly, a one-game lead is going to help him relax tonight. There's no question about that. But you know, again, it gets back to that age-old question too: would you rather have talent or experience when you get to this portion of the season? Obviously, you'd love to have both. But the important thing for the quote-unquote inexperienced guy is to be able to keep those emotions in check. And I think you saw the Astros starting pitcher last night had a hard time keeping his emotions in check. And that's where experience pays off.
No question about it. Tom Glavine is with us. And Tom, I'm rooting for Max Fried to go deep into the game. That certainly would help the rest of the staff. He's capable of doing it. But I know you get asked this all the time. It is unreal how it keeps going to the next level, how they expect less and less from the starter. They almost don't dare let the starter, even a good starter, sometimes face the lineup a third time. You were constantly, you and John Smoltz and Greg Maddux, always assuming and planning, how am I going to get the guy out the third and the fourth time? And we have completely lost that. I hope someday that it could cycle back to that, but I'm not sure.
I hope it does too. But, you know, and you're right. It's funny because, you know, obviously I've done a lot of interviews these last couple of days with the Braves being in the World Series, and I've been asked that question every single time. And, you know, I haven't really talked to anybody, whether it be you guys in the profession you're in or just casual fans, that don't say, dude, what is up with the bullpen? Why are they going to the bullpen so much, right? And I think it's a problem for baseball because I do. I mean, I know the outcomes end up being, you know, good a lot of the times, and that's how it goes. But fans don't like watching this, right? And I'd have to say I put myself on that side as well. Now, I don't blame the starting pitchers solely for this because, again, like I've said, my generation, you know, yeah, we our goal was to get deep into the ballgame, and that meant at least the seventh inning. We were kind of on the beginning edges of the closer, and then inevitably the setup man, and certainly pitch counts. So I think worst case scenario for us, it was, you know, we want to hand the ball over to the bullpen with no more than six outs. And that's kind of how we were brought up, in a five-man rotation, and that's what we did. Now, the generation before us thought we were soft. You know, right. Nolan Ryan and Phil Niekro and those guys were, you know, making 40-something starts a year and pitching 300-something innings. But I'm a big believer that you're a product of the environment that you're brought up in. And I say that because today's guys, it's not like they don't have the talent to do it. They're just being brought up in an environment where they're not allowed to do it. They're being told they can't do it. You can only go five innings. You can't flip a lineup a third time. And I don't necessarily think it's all their fault. Now, where I think some of it is maybe their fault, but there again, not completely, is, you know, so much of today's game is predicated on stuff, and it's stuff, stuff, stuff. Everything's got to be swing and a miss. These guys in today's game don't know how to pitch the contact the way we did. Like, mm-hmm. There's very few first pitch outs, or very few, you know, one or two pitches into the end of the at-bat, and there's a weak ground ball somewhere on the infield, right? And again, I don't know that it's their fault. I remember I was watching the game the other night, the Braves-Dodgers game with Buehler on the mound, and there was so much talk early in the game about how Buehler at you know, maybe three innings into the game only had one swing and a miss. And to me, I'm like, so what? You know, if he's pitching a good ball game and he's pitching to weak contact, I don't really care how many swings and misses he has. But that just shows you where the emphasis of the game has gone. And I think until you truly get back to teaching guys how to locate pitches and pitch to contact, then I think you're going to see more of this because, you know, with all the swings and misses and high pitch counts, whatever, it's hard for guys to get deep into a ball game.
Tom, when talking about the bullpen game and having to go that route, you know, I would assume Ian Anderson's going to get the ball for game three based on how the rotation has gone. But would you consider, knowing that you're going to have to go to the bullpen game at some point, would you consider that more for game three and then save Ian for game four? Or would you let what happens tonight dictate that decision?
I mean, look, I can sit here, sure as we're sitting here, and tell you that all of that's going to be in play. If it was me and it was what I was accustomed to playing, there's no question in my mind Ian Anderson starting game three. You know, I mean, that, like you said, that's your rotation. That's the way it's been set up. And whether you're up 2-0 or 1-1, really, in my mind, has no bearing on that, right? I mean, some of it could very well be predicated on you know, tonight. You know, like you said, it's going to be important for Max to get deep into the game tonight. I would imagine A.J. Minter's not available tonight. So, you know, you've got a hole there. So they're going to have to maneuver some things tonight in the bullpen. They're not going to be able to have their, you know, Minter, Jackson, Matzik, Will Smith tonight, I wouldn't think. I'd be shocked if Minter was available tonight. So, you know, if Max can get deep into the game, and by deep into the game, I mean at least six innings, then, you know, I think that alleviates some of it, and maybe you have some more options for game three. But you know, look, in my mind, I'm still a traditionalist in that regard. You have your three horses that are your top of your rotation guys, and that's what we're going to roll with, and then we'll figure out game four when we get there.
Tom, it's been a pleasure talking to you as always. Enjoy your work for the Braves, and obviously open invitation. I know you have your own connections, but if you ever want to come to a hockey game and be our guest, that is always
an option for you.
I may take you up on that. Okay. I love Nashville, and I've wanted to see a game up there, so, you know, that might happen.
Okay, sounds great. Tom, good luck to the Braves, and thanks again for joining us today.
All right, have a good day, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Tom Glavine, Hall of Fame left-hander. Oh, so great good. To get his insights during the World Series. That's a pleasure for us. Not always easy to get that level of insight while it's going on there, but I love what he does with Bally.
And obviously, your colleagues.
Colleagues, yeah, it's colleagues.
I'd like to. Yeah, I mean, his insight on pitching, you know, obviously, yeah, with the level that he did it at, is just, you know, unmatched. And so that, to get that and to get his view, and I mean, there's more we could have asked him, for sure. I mean, and he knows Brian Snicker. They've worked together for a long time in that organization, but it's just crazy to see how much the game has changed in that. Like, I was gonna bring up with him, if Bobby Cox walked to the mound in the fifth inning to take the ball from him, he can't repeat what he would have said to him. he would have said, get the
well, he would
back in the
and
back
it
in the
just
dugout.
Wouldn't have been a thought if he was pitching well at all. Like, it even so, it's look, we got to deal with it. I know a lot of the analytics people are like, just deal with it, man, just deal with it. But it's not as pleasurable to watch. I will always go with it. I am a hardcore baseball fan. I watched the whole game, you know, as well as the Predators game. I watched as much of it as I could. But it's tough. It's tough.
I think in this situation, like, if you're either if you're Dusty Baker, who's old school, or Brian Snicker, who's old school, if you're in a situation,
you're not allowed to be old school.
But if you're in the World Series and it's an elimination game, whether it's a game 5, 6, 7, whatever, it doesn't matter. And you got a guy that's dealing, like Morton was dealing before he got
right.
Hurt.
He now was that dealing. Was a different circumstance because he would not have come out that early.
But if you got a guy that's just absolutely dealing, like how could I don't care what the analytics are telling you. I don't care what your analytics guy is handing you with the piece of paper, like, you let him go. You leave him.
And that will be something to watch for, because if the Blake Snell moment comes up and it's analytics versus feel, you know, Dusty Baker, he might go with the feel.
I think Dusty for sure would go with the
feel.
I don't know
that would be the push and pull, and then the result, everybody's going to go nuts on one side or the other.
I think they will show a shot of Dusty Baker. He'll bite down on that toothpick, and that's it.
Baker, toothpick's worst nightmare.
I know. You won't see him, because, like, the old school, he is old school, and he's going to be like, yeah, I got this. I don't need your –
we'll see.
Your fact sheet.
Because he works for an organization that is hardcore into those analytics. Of course, there are very few that are not these days. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll move forward. Don't forget, we will have Mike Vrabel and his press conference at noon. The Titans have
11:30.
Oh, it's 11:30. Yeah, even closer. And they have made a couple of moves. A couple of people who have been injured trying to start working their way back. We'll tell you about that when we come back, and we will countdown to the Mike Vrabel press conference. You can hear it here. Big game against the Colts coming up on Sunday. Stay tuned. We're coming back.